You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Funding source hasn't been designated for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if we were to fund all of these, you're looking at what, $50,000-$60,000?
What? Wait, whoa. Whoa. This is Sherry Myers and Delarian Wiggins, I think, before that, talking during the City Council agenda review session on Monday about a whole list of plaques and kind of markers and various things that are intended to go up around the city, including some that commemorate some horrible things that happened involving the Creek Indians a long time ago. And, I favor commemorative plaques. I certainly do. I like the idea of teaching our history, especially the ugly parts of it. But when you start talking about $50,000 or $60,000 for all of them, the funding source is pretty relevant, right? Joining us now, we have Mayor Grover Robinson. This is something that he talked extensively about on Monday, and it's going to come up tomorrow night. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good. Glad to be here. I'm very happy to be here. Let me say, we are commemorating. We have been asked. We've been talking about telling the stories, all the stories that are out there. We met for a while. We've been working with the Santa Rosa Creek tribe, and they have requested that this marker to talk about an event that happened during the First Seminole War, actually really before we officially became a part of the United States, when Jackson was down here hunting, Native Americans, dealing with the wars that happened in the Creek Wars in Alabama. And so there was a massacre along the shores of Bayou Tahar. And so we've been asked to put a marker up. We are doing that. That marker is going up. That marker is paid for by money that we've worked with the state of Florida.
And that's at Bayview, right? That's going to be at Bayview Park?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And this will be like a big historic marker. So this is a marker on things that we want to... Not the other ones we don't want to put up, but this is a historical marker, so it is going to go up, and we are working with that. And I worked very diligently during the 200th anniversary to get some state funds to put up more state markers, so we have that. There are about four or five other things, naming different stuff for individuals, placing trees and benches in parks for individuals, and that's the part that was come up to that. And again, what was discussed was, council members get somebody that says, hey, I want to do this. They put it up there. What we've generally said is, okay, we're happy to install stuff, but everything else, to acquire it and do everything else, there is a funding cost, and it really needs to be borne by the person that's making the request, and they can figure out how to do that. And we don't mind having our guys go out there and put the installation into it. But all this stuff does add up, as you said.
So, right, and with scarce labor available, and the idea that we want to have this marker that's good, and then just trust that Parks and Rec is going to pay for it somehow. That's not a functional model. So, I agree.
I agree. And that was our whole point. We were like, we all just got to figure out who's going to pay for it. And if a council member wants to take it out of their discretionary fund, we'd have no problem. That's oftentimes what happens.
Right.
You'll see that happen. But a couple of them didn't have that, and so we were like, does the council member want to do something, or how are we going to pay for this? So that's a little bit how that discussion came into that.
Yeah, and again, I am all in favor of them, but you have to pay for them, and figuring out a way to pay for it is certainly the key part of this problem. You and I disagree about the value to our community of the wraparound off ramp from I-110 south onto Gregory that loops around a Chase. I know you said 10 people use it. I thought the number was actually 50, which is not that many. Okay, and I will tell you in advance, I know I'm going to lose this argument. Okay, I know the net benefit to the community for the Bay Center for expansion and connection of those properties outweighs the number of people who use it. But just for a minute, I want to point out that is an incredibly useful off-ramp for anybody who's going downtown on 110 to get into the areas of town like Wright Street and Alkenes that feeds. So can you at least concede that it's useful?
I'm going to help you. I'm going to get a car with you, and I'm going to drive you down, and we're going to take the one to down to Garden Street. We're going to get off there, and then we're going to turn.
And we're going to cross time it.
Tarragona. We're going to turn onto Tarragona or wherever we need to go at that first light, and we'll get you right where you want to go the same way. It may be 3 seconds short longer, but
it's gonna be like a minute. I know it's not that much to fight over, but
it's not gonna be a minute. I promise you.
All right. So, the mayor will be racing, and I'll be driving extra slow, and we'll figure out what the amount of time is. It's fair enough. All right.
The mayor obeys traffic laws.
Of course. How dare I? I'm sorry. I'll be speeding. You'll be going slow. How about that? This is a question that occurred to me that I realized we haven't heard a lot in a while. I thought it was a gambling boat, a river boat. Maybe I misunderstand. The one that was coming down the Mississippi and was going to go sit on the east side of the port and then be something, maybe even like a floating convention center. I remember a bunch of different things. What's come of that, if anything? Where is that boat?
We have not heard from them since Sally. The boat was significantly damaged in Sally. It was in over in Mobile area. We have not heard. And I would say since that time, we've probably had some discussion with different groups about different areas of that port that we might could do some things. So, we've had different things happen, expansion and growth and the success we've had at the port. And two, we haven't heard from them. So I at this point, I don't think that's going anywhere.
Okay.
I mean, they're certainly welcome to bring something back to us, but they haven't brought anything back. And we're finding more and more opportunities that we have that probably are better opportunities than necessarily what was presented to us.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Last thing for you, Mr. Mayor, is I know it's not your baby anymore, and even really wasn't at the time, but Fort Pickens Road and 399, it used to be part of the district that you oversaw as the representative on the County Commission for District 4. Certainly you care about these things as tourism destinations and as just, caring about them anyway. Big thing yesterday, they had this virtual public town hall, mm-hmm. the Gulf Islands National Seashore, on what's the right way forward, whether it's a combination of bridges over the troubled areas, reworking the road, whatever. Apparently closing the road is now off the table, thank God. But do you have just maybe a thought about what you think the best way forward for preserving that access is?
Let me say, I did meet the new superintendent, and Daryl, and really think he's going to be great and enjoying having him. He seems very excited about the potential of what Gulf Islands can be, and he loves having people. He wants to get visitation out there. He wants to make it accessible to people. The only thing I told him was those roads really need to stay. I was county commissioner when we got it back after Hurricane Ivan.
Yeah.
When we faced the chance of losing it. So I worked very hard and diligently to get it there. To get repairs were made. I had a very good relationship with Dan Brown, but we had very public discussions and debates about different ways to do anything, and the way that oil still happened, other things happened with building berms to protect the road. We do it differently than the seashore. I argued, the seashore really probably might want to think about some things that would help them. I respect what they want to do, but I've had that debate multiple times. But I've also been very clear to the new superintendent, 399 cannot go. That is an incredibly important issue when you're on the island. If something were ever to happen to the bridge on Bob Sykes, you've got to have people to get over to Navarre. You've got to have a way to go over. 399 cannot go. And really, in a lot of ways, because of tourism and what's there and what's been going on, I've commented on a few Facebook posts when they first came out. I said, yes. You guys need to participate in this. You need to make your voice known. And I've already talked to the superintendent and said, I would like to see Fort Pickens stay. So, there are multiple things there. I do know the discussion I had with him because, let's face it, I've been to a lot of national parks. In fact, I won't be able to talk to you next Wednesday. I'll be in California. But I have seen a lot of national parks that not every road in there is asphalt. And even if something had to happen where you had a Bahama Rock road, I think those are other alternatives that they are looking at to see what could happen. I mean, yes, I guess the bridge, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I think a more practical part Could be something like a Bahama Rock Road. I've driven on enough roads in national parks that are not asphalt.
Well, I'm just encouraged to hear you say that he's receptive and they're wanting to find a way to preserve both of those roads rather than even considering the alternative of abandoning either. Because you're right, they're both essential. Mayor Robinson, thank you as always so much for the time. Always good to talk to you, sir. Have a great vacation next week.